Bibles, if you would please today, turn to the Gospel of Matthew, and chapter number 20, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 20. We have spent a great deal of time in the Gospel of Matthew in this last year at different times. Now, the last few couple of Sundays has been different, but the Lord's directed our heart back here to Matthew chapter number 20 this morning. Very simple thought out of the latter part of chapter number 20. And we're going to be sharing that with you here in just a moment as you find your place. I want to recognize a few anniversaries for the month of June. Boy, we've got a bunch of them here already. Archie and Wanda Miller, the second. I believe that's today, isn't it? That's today. How many, Brother Archie? 47. He had to think for a minute. Give them a round of applause this morning. 47 years. Congratulations. Did you get it right, Archie? Did you get it right? Okay, all right, we'll make sure you got it right. I don't want you to be in trouble after the service, all right? I don't want to do counseling today after the service unless I necessarily have to. So congratulations to them today. And then Chris and Dorothy Green on the 4th. How many years, Brother Chris? 36, all right, congratulations to them. And then Milo and Malaya on the 5th. How many years, Brother Milo? 38, all right, congratulations, 38. I thought I'd seen him counting on his fingers there. Amen. Then Rocky and Sharon Sproles also on the 5th. How many years, Brother Rocky? 4. All right. Congratulations to you. And then Butch and Teresa Woody will be on the 12th. How many years, Brother Butch? 40. All right. Congratulations. And then Scotty and Rosanna as well on the 12th. I'll try to get them when Miss Rosanna's able to be here. Where'd Scotty get to anyway? He's here. Oh, over here he is. You keep moving around. I can't keep up with you. But you remind me. We'll get you a Miss Rosanna when she's able to be here. She's at home with the kids today. All right, Matthew chapter number 20. Find your place in the precious Word of God. Say amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning if you're able to stand, or invite you to stand out of the reverence of the reading of the Word of God for a few moments this morning. Of course, we have the account here that Matthew gives of two blind men. And we find here, what I'm going to draw my thought from is verse number 32, where Jesus here, he asks the question in the latter part. Verse number 32, he says, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" I want to entitle the message this morning for just a few moments today on a simple thought, on this thought today. What can Jesus do for you? What can Jesus do for you? There's many needs, no doubt, throughout this building today. And so that question today I want to pose to all of us here this morning. What can Jesus do for you? And especially if you do not know Him as Savior, today is the day of salvation. What He can do for you is save you and redeem you. And I want you to think about that as we read the text and have prayer, and then we'll give you a few simple thoughts. Notice starting in verse number 29, the Bible says, "And as they departed from Jericho," now notice, "a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside." Notice now, "when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." Notice in verse 31, I find it interesting. "And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But notice, but they cried the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David." And again, the question that Jesus asked here in verse 32. "And Jesus stood still and called them and said, What will ye that I shall do unto you? And they say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened." And so Jesus, notice in verse 34, I love verse 34. "And so Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately..." I like that word. "And immediately their eyes received sight." Then notice what happens. "And they followed him." May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we bow in your presence once again today, Lord, just to thank you, Father, for another day on this side of eternity. Thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. Thank you for the privilege to be back in your house this morning. Lord, I do thank you for all that's already been said and done today now, Father, in your name. Now, Lord, I want to thank you for your precious living word. I pray now, God, as your servant, as I stand here this morning, God, I pray that you'd anoint me with fresh oil. God, I pray that you'd anoint my mind and my mouth. God, help me to say those things that need to be said in this service. God, I pray you'd guard my mouth. I'll not say anything, God, today that be contrary to your word or to your will. I pray, Lord, our ears and our hearts to be open and receptive unto what you have to say to us here today. God, most of all this morning, I pray, sweet Holy Ghost of God, Lord, if there's someone here today, God, they've never truly been born again, I pray, oh God, today that you'd convict them and draw them. Lord, this very day they come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Lord, there may be other situations and circumstances going on in the lives of your people here this morning. And God, I just pray today that we just all be obedient, submissive, again, to your word and to your will. Father, you do for us today what we cannot do for ourselves. Lord, I yield myself to you. God, you take me. God, you use me this morning, Father, for your honor and for your glory. Father, we'll give you honor, praise, and glory for all that you've done. Lord, for all that you're doing and all that you're going to do. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious word of God. Now, this morning, as we look at this text, and I'll try to be just as brief as I can possibly be with this thought that the Lord has placed upon our heart for this very text. Again, the question arises to each of us here today, what can Jesus do for you? We have before us today the account, as we said, of the two blind men desiring that Jesus would open their blinded eyes. Can I say this morning, one of the great needs of our hour is that God would touch blinded eyes and blinded hearts and blinded minds that they might be open to the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we find here that there was physical blindness now with these two men. But let me also say this morning that certainly Jesus is not just a genie in a bottle that we rub, and every time that we have a problem or have a need that we call upon him to fix it. Now, I'm glad that we can call upon him. Don't misunderstand me. But Jesus is much more today than a genie in a bottle that we rub to get what we need when we want it and all those kind of things. I'm glad this morning that, thank God, he's interested again in each and every one of us and is available to help us. But most of all, he came to help us spiritually. I want you to understand that. I'm glad he can help us physically. I'm glad he can help us emotionally. I'm glad he can help us financially and all the many aspects of our life. But we must understand today that the reason that Jesus came was to seek and to save that which was lost. And thank God this morning, I'm glad that he did. I'm glad he accomplished that when he went to the cross of Calvary and laid down his life. They placed him in the tomb, and he come out victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And he's seated at the right hand of God this morning to make intercession for each and every one of us. And I thank God for that today. But you may have come in today, and again, if you're lost, I'm glad God can help you with that need. And whatever other need that you might have this morning, I'm glad he's got enough to help you. I'm glad he's got enough to answer your prayer. Now, he don't always answer them in accordance to where our will is, but I'm glad he always answers. But again, I want us to think about the question and think about our lives and think about our circumstances as we are sitting here this morning. And again, allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak to our hearts and again ask us the question, what can Jesus do for you? Because that's exactly the question that Jesus asked these blind men. And we'll get into that in just a few moments. First of all, I want you to notice right from the text today, we have a recognition, if you will, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the recognition we find, starting in verse number 30, and as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two men sitting by the wayside, when they heard, he ought to learn that word heard, that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And so first of all, there's a recognition of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you a couple of things about this recognition. Number one, Jesus was passing by. Let me say that I'm glad that Jesus is still passing by. Now, I realize he was passing by physically here as they were departing from Jericho. And, of course, we know that Jesus is headed to Jerusalem, of course, to lay down his life for the sin of mankind. But could I say this morning, I'm glad that, thank God, he's still passing by. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God this morning. You say, preacher, he's not physically passing by. No, could I say it's even far greater than that? He's spiritually passing by. I'm glad for the day and hour when Jesus passed by my way. Hallelujah. I just like these blind men. Boy, I was needing somebody to come by and help me. Hallelujah. The doctors couldn't help me. Mom and daddy couldn't help me. Hey, thank God there wasn't nobody else could help me. But hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I'm glad they recognized that somebody great and somebody wonderful and somebody gracious and somebody merciful was passing by. And could I say, he's passing by this way this morning. How do you know, preacher? Because I can feel him in here. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I'm glad this morning. Thank God I know the true and the living God. There was a recognition that somebody was passing by. Could I say today, thank God, friend, if you don't recognize anything else, I pray that you'll recognize that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, thank God, the Lord of Glory, the Son of God, the Rose of Sharon, the Bright in the Morning Star, hallelujah, the Bread of Life, the Resurrection and the Life, hallelujah, the Good Shepherd, he's passing by. Hallelujah, this morning. And when Jesus passes by, I'm telling you, good things are bound to happen. When Jesus passes by, hallelujah, the opportunity for something good to take place, friend, is available when Jesus passes by. Do you realize today that Jesus passes by many times and he's not even recognized? Oh, we ought to recognize him when he passes by. You say, preacher, you've done lost your ever-loving mind. Well, just leave me alone. I'm having a good time anyway. I'm glad I've got something that's real. I'm glad I know when Jesus passed by my way, I know something happened and something took place. Can I say today, in the religious world, there's nothing taking place. But thanks be to God, I'm glad when Jesus passes by. I'm talking about a relationship with the one that was there from the beginning. I'm talking about the one that hung between heaven and earth. I'm talking about the one that had power to lay down his life, had the power to take it up again. I'm talking about him. Thank God, the Lord Jesus, the one that's able to save and redeem. What can Jesus do for you this morning? There was a recognition that Jesus was passing by. And look what I say, when he passes by, you know it's him. Amen. You don't have to guess. You don't have to wonder. You know it's him. I'm afraid when he passes by, too many people turn and go the other way. Instead of running to him, they run from him. Oh, today, if you could just recognize that Jesus is passing by. Notice in the recognition, not only did they recognize that Jesus was passing by, as we said, thank God he's still passing by today. Notice when he's passing by, it means that the very presence of Christ is in the midst. The very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ is in the midst. I like it when he's around. Amen. Matter of fact, I don't like it. I love it when he's around. I see the recognition of the very passing by the Lord Jesus in the very presence of Christ. And then I thought about this in the recognition, and I've already said a little bit about it this morning, but let me give you this in the way of the outline. Not only in his recognition do we see him passing by in the very presence of Christ, but then I think about the possibilities of great things taking place. the possibility of great things taking place. Now notice there's already a multitude following him, right? According to the text. But here are two blind men sitting by the wayside begging. Why? Because they couldn't do anything else. This was their only means of getting any kind of income or food or whatever. They were sitting there begging. And they hear that Jesus is in the midst. That he's passing by, that the very presence of the Lord Jesus is there. And so the possibilities of those old boys, we don't know how long they've been blind or in that condition, probably a good while. Maybe all their life. We don't know their age. See, none of that matters. Because when Jesus passes by, business picks up. The possibilities. I'm telling you what, they go through the possibilities when Jesus is in the midst. I'm telling you today, hey, when God's in the midst, the possibilities are endless for what God could do even in our midst today. Why? Because he's still God. So we see, number one, the recognition. Number two, I'm going to try to move through the outline just as quickly as I can. But not only do I see the recognition, I want to go to secondly to the rebuke. I want to talk about that for just a few moments this morning, and then I want to look at their request. But I see a rebuke, and I read it into your hearing. It's right there in the Bible for you to look at and observe. And then I begin to think about that. And of course, this is not the only time that in Jesus' ministry that somebody would want to come to Jesus or get to Jesus and somebody would want to rebuke them. Boy, I begin to think about that. I begin to consider that. We find the rebuke here. The word rebuke, as it's used in the text, it means to censor or forbid. Now, I want you to notice in the rebuke, number one, there's a crowd following Jesus. Right? Notice again in verse 29, a great multitude followed him. Then notice in verse 31, and the multitude rebuked them. Because they should hold their peace. In other words, they say, boys, just be quiet. It's almost like they're saying, Jesus don't have time for you. Boy, I begin to think about that and pray over that and say, Lord, show me something here that could help me and that could help your people understand why they would rebuke these two poor old blind men. I mean, they're in desperate need. Could you imagine never being able to see? Could you imagine never being able to see a sunrise or a sunset? Could you imagine never being able to look on the eyes of your family? Could you imagine never being able to see where you're going and what you're doing? I mean, we today, we just can't imagine that. As far as I know, there's nobody here today that's ever had to experience that. And we ought to thank God for that. But these two men were blind. Now, let's make application of that in the spiritual sense. Do you realize today that there are people all around us here today that are blinded by the God of this world according to the Scriptures? Their hearts and their minds have been blinded by the God of this world. In other words, all they've got their eyes on is the things of this world. I mean, you seem like you can preach till you're blue in the face. You can pray until you're just wore out from praying. You can witness till you don't know anything else to say. And it's almost like people turn a deaf ear to every bit of it. You will know why? Because they're blinded. And they need somebody to come by and remove those blinders. Their eyes, their hearts, and their minds need to be open to the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth and that everybody's going to spend eternity somewhere and there's only two destinations. We know there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. There is no in-between. And without Jesus Christ touching us and regenerating us and redeeming us, there's no possible way that that heaven will be our eternal home. But I'll tell you what, one of the problems of our day is too many people have been told too many lies. Amen. Preachers are afraid to preach anymore. Amen. Afraid they're going to upset somebody. Lord, don't preach against sin, preacher. Whether it's Bibles against sin, somebody ought to preach against it. Why? Because God's against sin. Thank God, I'm glad He still forgives sin this morning, and I thank God for it. But I'll tell you what, it's not up to the church and the people of God to uphold it. Somebody ought to stand against it. I'm talking about doing it in a loving manner. Now, don't misunderstand me. You can't beat people over the head and thrash them to death. And I know that this morning. But somebody needs to stand for the truth of the Word of God and stand for what's right and stand against sin and live a separated, consecrated life. Why? Because there's people all around us this morning that have been blinded by the God of this world. And you could be one of those very ones here this morning that's been blinded by the God of this world. We find this morning the recognition Jesus is passing by. But we see the rebuke. Now there's a crowd that's following Jesus. Not only do I see the crowd, but I see their constraint. They rebuke these two blind men. But here's the thing I really want us to see. Notice their lack of compassion. Now, I wonder if the shoe had been on the other foot. What if they'd been the ones sitting there begging, blinded, and they heard Jesus was passing by? Now, I just wonder, and Jesus has been in public ministry now for approximately 3.5 years. And I'm just wondering if these old blind boys maybe had heard something about Jesus before even this time. Hey, Jesus has touched a lot of people. Jesus has healed a lot of people. Jesus has been preaching and Jesus has been teaching. And I just wonder, somewhere in the conversation of them sitting by the wayside, by the highway there begging, if somebody coming through the crowd was talking about Jesus, and then all of a sudden, the one that they'd been hearing about, the one they had heard had done so many great miracles, and so much wonderful teaching and so much wonderful preaching was passing by. But notice the multitude that was following him. I would say today, let us look at that today as being you and I, because we're supposed to be following him, correct? If you're a Christian today, we ought to be following Christ. The word Christian simply means little Christ. And if we're going to be Christians, then definitely we need to follow him. But see, the rebuke come not from Jesus. The lack of compassion didn't come from Jesus. It came from the multitude. Oh, my. Boy, I thought about that and I said, Lord, I said, Holy Ghost, you give me something that would help us to evaluate our own hearts and our own times that we might constrain someone or our own lack of compassion. See, here I see a lack of compassion on the part of the multitude in the crowd. But I'm glad we get into the latter part of this story and we see that Jesus shows compassion. But I thought about this. Here's this crowd. Boys, hold your peace. Jesus ain't got time for you. I thought about this. In that multitude of people that was following Jesus, I wonder how many of them that Jesus had touched. Evidently, I'd say a great deal of them. Why? Because they were still following him. Now, some of them were following him for what they could get. Not what they could give or what they could do. That's a whole entirely different sermon. But what I thought about was this. In this multitude and in this crowd, is it possible that some of them had forgotten what state Jesus had found them in? Oh my! What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. We should never forget the state that our Savior found us in. Let me say it again. Some of you didn't get it. We should never forget what state that Jesus found us in. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? When he found me, I was blinded by the God of this world. When he found me, I was in sin. When he found me, I was destined to hell. But I'm glad, thank God, when he come to where I was, hallelujah, and give me the opportunity to call on him by faith. I'm glad God done a work in my heart and in my life. I'll tell you what, we should never forget the state that Jesus found us in and rescued us out of. I believe some of them had forgotten just exactly how Jesus had found them. Boys, be quiet. Hold your peace. I'm saying this morning. The church should never get to the place that we lose our compassion for those that are blinded to the God of this world. If we ever lose that compassion, then friend, we'll come to the place to where we do not have a desire to see men, women, boys, and girls come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If it had been up to the crowd, those blind men would have stayed in their pitiful condition. God help us as a church. And God help us this morning as God's children, that we would ever want to see anybody stay in their blinded, ruined condition. So I believe the Holy Ghost of God, through the inspiration of God here and through the teaching of Jesus himself, he's trying to teach us something this morning. Don't ever forget the state that Jesus found you in. I'm glad he didn't leave me in that state. Hey, the crowd might have left me there. The church might have left me there. But thanks be to God, I'm glad there's one that didn't want to leave me in that state. I'm glad he reached down where I was at and lifted me out of the muck and the mire. And thank God, and set my feet on a solid rock and opened up my blinded mind, my blinded heart, and my blinded eyes. Thank God. I see the recognition. I see the rebuke. Moving on quickly this morning. Thirdly, I see the request. Now, these old boys, they interested in that one that's passing by. Hey, that crowd wasn't going to stop them. You remember the time when you got saved? I mean, when God was really dealing with you and God was passing by? I mean, it got to the point you didn't care who else was around. You just wanted to get to Jesus. But I want you to see the request. First of all, I see in the request this morning, first of all, I see that they heard. They heard that Jesus was passing by. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I don't believe an individual will ever come to their spiritual senses, so to speak, this morning until they first hear. They first hear. Not about me, and not about you, and not about Pleasant Grove Baptist Church. What they need to hear is about this man named Jesus. And if you ever get them to Jesus, we can get them to the church. So number one, in the request, before they made the request, they heard. Number two, not only did they hear, but secondly, I want you to notice their cry. Now, two different times in the text that I read to you this morning, the first two things that they ask is, I have mercy on us. I'm glad he didn't give me what I deserved. I'm glad he had mercy. And notice the first request, the first cry that these men have in two different times,
And notice also in the recognition that we find here that they recognize him for who he is. O Lord, thou son of David. But in their request, Lord, have mercy on us. I'm glad the Bible teaches us that his mercy endureth forever. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for grace. But notice their first cry was for mercy. I love it in the scriptures. Thank God when the man says, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Can I tell you this morning, thank God that'll get the job done. That'll get the job. Lord, just be merciful to me, an old sinner. Thank God I'm glad. Hallelujah. The hand of mercy and grace and love is extended to those that will cry out for mercy today. Notice not only in the request do I see that they heard, but I see their cry. The word mercy simply means to have compassion or pity on. Not only do I see their cry, but I see their plea. Notice in verse number 33. They say unto him, now notice again in verse 32, Jesus asked them a question. What will ye that I shall do unto you? In other words, what do you boys need today? Now Jesus has done pushed the crowd aside. All the noise and all that's going on, Jesus done pushed all that to the side. They bring these two blind men. Jesus says, what is it that I can do for you? What can I help you with? What a Savior. Now, Jesus already knew they were blind. Huh? Oh, yeah. He knew they were blind. He knew they needed help. And so the question comes to our heart, well, why did he ask them? Because he wanted them to put faith and ask him for what they needed. If you don't see anything else, I want you to see that. Jesus asked them the question for the simple reason he wanted them to admit that they had a need. The problem with people today is they won't admit they got a need. I see it all the time. I see it on Sunday mornings, whether it's preaching in a Sunday morning service or a Sunday night service or Wednesday night service or if it's a revival meeting or if it's a funeral. Again, because they have been blinded. And instead of admitting they have a problem, they try to take religion and sweep it under the rug. They try to, because they walked an aisle one day, they try to sweep it under the rug. Because they've been baptized, they try to sweep it under the rug. Because they try to do the very best that they can, they try to sweep it under the rug. But friend, the very best that you and I could do today is not enough. Why? Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need a Savior. We all have a problem. What's that problem, preacher? It's a sin problem. But most people don't want to come to the recognition that they've been blinded by the God of this world. These two boys wanted some help. And when you and I get to the place that we really want some help, Jesus is saying to you and I, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? He's wanting us to ask him. He's wanting you and I to believe him for it. Because he's God enough to be able to provide it. I want you to notice this morning, in the request, they heard their cry, their plea, Lord, that our eyes might be open. So we have the recognition, we have the rebuke, we have the request. Let's look at our Lord's response. Verse 34. So Jesus said, come back another day. So Jesus said, I don't have time to fool with you. So Jesus said, you've went too far and you've done too much. Jesus said, there's no hope for you. That's what a lot of people are thinking today. That's what the old God of this world drilled into their minds. Can I tell you, he's a liar and the father of all lies. Jesus here, just as he had compassion on these two blind men, is the same one that had compassion on me, and the same one that had compassion on you, and the same one that has compassion for you today. Compassion is God's love in action, my friend. Compassion is not saying I love you. Compassion is showing you that I love you. Notice our Lord's response. Number one, I see his compassion. Number two, not only do I see his compassion, but I see his personal touch. Notice in verse 34, so Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Could you imagine that Jesus literally touched the eyes of these two blind men? He done it. How do you know he done it? Because that's what the Bible says he done. He touched them. Somebody hold my mute while I shout a while. Thank God, thank God, thank God for the day that he touched me. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Thank God, aren't you? Can you remember a day? Can you remember a time? Thank God, were you blinded by the God of this world? And thank God you recognized Jesus was passing by. And you called on him, Lord, be merciful to me. And thank God immediately, hallelujah, God touched you. And God redeemed you. If God ever touches you, friend, you won't have to ask who it was that touched me. Thank God I'm glad, hallelujah, he's still touching people today. And healing blinded eyes today. And touching holes. And touching lives. I'm glad this morning that thank God he's still touching those that will call on him this morning. I see his compassion. I see his touch. But then there's something else I want you to see. I want you to see the powerful response, and immediately. And my boys didn't have to go to the eye doctor and say, would you check this to make sure it's right? Immediately. Immediately. Could you imagine two young men that's never saw before, when Jesus touched their eyes, that automatically their eyes come open and the first thing they see is Jesus. Hey, man. Thank God, preacher, the first thing they saw was the one that... Oh, hallelujah. Is the one that touched them. Thank God. I'll tell you what, friend, if you ever get to the place that you'll confess your sin and get right with God, I'll tell you what, the first one that you see spiritually, hallelujah, is him today, my friend. The powerful response. Immediately, their eyes were opened. Then I want you to notice something else. The personal touch, the powerful response. And I want you to notice, lastly, the path of the blind man. Look at the Bible. Hey, people that really get right with God, you don't have to go out and hunt them down. Now listen, all of us can stray. And probably most of us, to be honest, before the Lord, we have strayed. Let's just be honest. But somewhere, God comes calling. And if he ever touches your blinded eyes to where you see spiritually, your path will be different. The scene opens. They're sitting by the wayside. Could you help me? Could you help me? Need a little money. Need a little something for some help. Could you help me? Could you help me? Could you help me? Christ says, oh, hush, hush, hush. She's not going to fool you. She used to bring them boys here. He touches them. Now, what they asked of Jesus was in faith. Preacher, you can't prove that. I can prove it. Because Jesus only operates in the realm of faith. And then their path went from sitting by the wayside begging. Notice in verse 34. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight. 20/20 vision, by the way. Preacher, you don't know. Hey, what Jesus does, he does right. Praise God. Anybody else enjoying this? I don't know why. Notice their path. And they followed him. People that's been touched and changed usually don't have a problem following him. You better check to make sure you've got what you think you've got. Oh, preacher, you're just trying to make me doubt. No. I'm just telling you, you better be sure that you have what you think you have. Because when you close your eyes in death, it will be too late. Jesus don't touch us to leave us on the same path. Do you realize these old boys probably never had to go back to begging? Woo! Hallelujah! Why? Because Jesus asked him a simple question. Boys, what is it I can do for you? And they said, Lord, that you might touch our eyes, that they might be opened. God can still do that today. You may be like those old boys sitting by the wayside begging, wondering what you're going to do next. Jesus asking you that same question, what is it I can do for you? You may be in a place in your life today that you don't know what you're going to do. Jesus asking you the same question, what is it I can do for you? What is it he can do for you this morning? If you need salvation, it's available. Amen. If you need help, it's available. What can Jesus do for you? Let's stand to our feet all over the building this morning with every head bowed, every eye closed. Brother Scott, if you want to come and get us a song, musicians want to come to the instruments. What is it that Jesus can do for you? Heavenly Father, thank you again for this good day. Thank you for this Lord's Day that we've been able to be back in your house. Thank you, Father, for your love, your grace, your mercy. Thank you for the living Word of God. And Lord, we've just tried to deliver the message you placed upon our heart. I pray right now in the stillness of this service, I pray that each of us would allow the Spirit of God to help us search our hearts. And I ask us that very same question. What is it that Jesus could do for me? I pray this morning, especially if there's one here lost, that today would be the day, Lord, that they would come and truly give their heart and their life to you. Get that touch, Lord, that only you can give. And then, Lord, there may be others here today that's going through something, Lord, they just need to come and ask the Lord Jesus to help them.
and what they're going through. You're not a genie in a bottle, but you're our intercessor sitting at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for each and every one of us here today. So, Lord, you take the invitation, you use it, and help us to be obedient and submissive. And it's in Christ's name, as every head's bowed, every eye's closed, as we play softly.